The reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 21, and it is on page 1007 in the Pew Bibles and on the screens. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Leslie. Let's pray. Father God, would you speak through your word? Would you speak through your servant? Would you touch each of our hearts as only you can? In Jesus' name, amen. As we look through this passage in Mark 5, I want us to think about the character and the nature of God and how that's demonstrated through Jesus. This particular story that I'm going to focus on is the story of the healing of the woman. And first thing to note in the story is that, what's her name? She hasn't got a name, has she? The unnamed woman, I've called her in my notes. An unnamed woman, and the passage comes sandwiched in between two other passages. Two other passages which speak about great faith. There's the faith of Jairus, a synagogue ruler who comes to Jesus, and he pleads earnestly with Jesus. You know, his daughter's dying. He pleads with Jesus, and there's a demonstration of great faith because he knows that if Jesus comes to his daughter, then the daughter will be healed. That's the first bit. Then the second bit is, I think we've got Jesus' faith, because Jesus is obedient to the Father, and Jesus goes into that scenario, into that situation, actually saying, "She's not dead, she's asleep." Well, to all intents and purposes, she was dead. And I think Jesus exercised great faith in that context, and he prayed for her, he laid hands on her, and she rose from the dead. And this passage is sandwiched in the middle, and at first glance, it seems as though the woman has got such great faith. You know, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I'm going to challenge that as we go through it. Because I'm going to suggest she didn't exercise as much faith as we think she did, yet the outcome was profound. And I think and I hope that it will help some of us who sometimes struggle with lack of faith. Who's been a Christian more than 40 years? It's not a trick. Okay, you know, you can keep your hands up. Those have been Christians a long time. Has your faith been rock solid for 40 years or more? Why not? Because we're human. And actually, faith often is like that. It doesn't mean that we don't believe, but our faith is shaken. And particularly when we first come, our faith is all over the place. So let's talk about the woman. I want us to think about three things. I want us to think about her desperation, her faith, and then her transformation. Let's think about her desperation, because we know what the passage says. She was a woman who'd had a hemorrhage, so she was bleeding. She was bleeding for 12 years, the passage says. And in Mark's gospel, Mark actually says this, if I can find it. Yes, he says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Sorry, no disrespect to any doctors who are in today, but it says that she suffered greatly under the care of doctors. And it's interesting, when you read it in Luke 8 actually says, and Luke recalls it, no one could heal her. Luke's view of it is very different. I wonder whether Luke was saying that because he was a doctor. The truth is, she'd gone everywhere to get healing. She'd searched out, but actually she was getting worse. Not only was she getting worse in her condition, but secondly, it says she'd spent everything she had. She was penniless. How much worse could it get? Well, I'm going to tell you, it got worse. It got worse because she was bleeding. She was ceremonially unclean. Ceremonially, I can't say it. She was unclean. Ceremonially unclean. Which meant that she was ostracized in society. No one wanted anything to do with her. So she had no relationships, no money, no healing, no hope. She was desperate. And she'd heard about Jesus. And she wanted to get near him. And she says, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Which sounds like a really faithful thing to say. But I want to give you a context for what I'm going to say is that I don't think her faith was as rock solid. Why? Because in the culture of the time, and she'd heard about the healings of Jesus, the power of a person wasn't in the person themselves, but the power of the person was in the clothes that they were wearing. So therefore, you didn't have to speak to the person. You didn't often have a relationship with the person. You just touched the hem of their clothes and you were healed. So I'm going to say that her faith was shaky. Her faith was flaky. But you see, the thing is, the outcome was still profound. She didn't have the rock-solid guarantee of faith. And I think that helps us today. When we want to step out in faith, when we're not sure. And she comes to Jesus in her wavering faith. And the passage says, immediately she touched the hem of his garment, she's healed. You know, doesn't mess about, does it? Immediately. You know, over the years, we've prayed for people to be healed. Loads of people have been healed, but we've prayed for people who haven't been healed. Some of the people we've prayed for have died. Some of the people I've prayed for didn't want praying for. Does it stop you praying? No, it doesn't. And I'll tell you why. Because it isn't dependent on my faith. And I'm so glad it isn't. It's dependent on Almighty God. There isn't a magic formula. We want to find one and we want to look for one. There isn't. And okay, there is an element of faith. And there is faith of individuals. And, God, and the Bible speaks about it. But isn't totally dependent on the language which I use and the faith which I exercise. Because every single time we pray for healing, we pray in faith, believing. Does that make sense? Every single time. And it says immediately she's healed. And I just want to go back a step. Because she's ceremonially unclean, and no one wants anything to do with her, I actually think she was, I'm going to use a long word and I can't even say it, surreptitiously trying to find her way to Jesus. What makes me say that? Because everyone knows she's ceremonially unclean. If anybody sees her, they're going to, oh, it's that woman. Don't have anything to do with her. Move away from her. And she manages to find a way to Jesus and touches the hem of his garment. And she must have been so thrilled and overwhelmed that she has been healed. And what does she try and do? She tries to slink off back into the crowd. But actually, there's more for this woman. There's a transformation. She's healed. And the word which is used here is the same word which means saved. And often in the Bible, saving and healing are interchangeable. Yes, she's been healed of her physical ailment, but she's been saved. She has been transformed, and Jesus, as only Jesus can, he says, "Who's touched me?" Well, the disciples must think he's stupid, he's crazy. Why? Because there's a big crowd around him. Everybody's jostling up against him, rubbing up against him, knocking against him. But actually, Jesus knows, don't know how he knows, that some power has gone from him. And he asks the crowd, "Who's touched me?" And the woman knows it's her. Now, this is a woman who's hidden for years. A woman whose name we don't even know. A woman who people would have pointed at and told her to get away. Now, this same woman comes to the feet of Jesus. She kneels at his feet, trembling. She tells him the story. Why does Jesus do it? Why doesn't he just let her have the healing and just go back into the crowd? I think he wanted to restore her. It's not just about the physical healing, you see. It's about restoration. This woman, this is the woman that you shunned. This is the woman that you ostracized. This is the woman that you didn't want anything to do with. And look at her. She's face to face with Jesus. And then Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." There's the connection with faith. The shaky, flaky faith, she's healed. But there's something before that. It's the only time, I think, and someone can correct me if you Google it, but the only time in the Gospels that Jesus calls someone daughter is here. What a term of intimacy. What a term of affection. What a term of love for this ostracized woman. Daughter. Daughter, child of God. Your faith, your shaky faith. And you know, people of God, there are people in our world who have a shaky, flaky faith. There are people in our world. When we look at the world, often, we outside of the church, we think, those people are so far from God. What can we do? They are so far from God. There's no Christian legacy. There's no Christian understanding. There's no Christian faith. They are so far from God. So what we'll do is we'll pull up the ramparts, we'll shut the doors, we'll be in our security because they're so far from God. This woman was so far from God, so far from Jesus, and now she's at the feet of Jesus, and it demonstrates the love of God for those who are far off. There's only one person who can reach people. It's Jesus. What a transformation in our life. Healing, restoration, forgiveness, center of attention. And I said this at 9:30 and I want to say it again. There's some of us that I believe God is saying to us, there's no hiding place. That you can't hide from God. That actually he wants a face-to-face with us. And a continued face-to-face with us. Because wherever you go, wherever you are, God shines his light on us. And it's wonderful and it's glorious. And there's no other place that I'd want to be than in the light. I don't want to be in the dark, do you? I want to be in the light. And this woman would have shouted about the transformation that Jesus made in her life. Have we got any Stoke supporters in today? Anybody support Stoke? It's all right, it's not a shame. You're all like this. I thought you were really proud, Stoke people. Yeah, you're all Stoke. Thank you. So this is just for the Stoke supporters here today. Just bear with me, because I've been a few times. When Stoke are playing another team, say they're playing Tottenham Hotspur, my team. You Stoke supporters, who do you shout for? You should shout for Tottenham, would you? You're not a very good supporter, sorry. Go on. You'd shout for Stoke. Why would you shout for Stoke?
Because that's the team that you're there to support.
Yeah. And would you want to encourage them?
Of course you want to win.
Of course you want to encourage them. So would you shout for Tottenham?
No, never.
Never. Now, hear this. So your Stoke supporters who follow Stoke, who shout for Stoke. Now, some of you might be ahead of where I'm going. We are Christian people bought at a price. We've encountered Jesus face to face. We have a relationship with God through Jesus. So who should we shout for?
Jesus.
Well done. So why would we want to shout for Tottenham? Why would we want to shout for anything or anybody else? Does that make sense? We should be shouting for Jesus. And as I look around this room, as I look at you people, you might think to yourself, well, actually, I don't feel very transformed. I don't feel very changed. But actually, when I'm looking around, I can see transformation. And whether you believe it or not, feel like it or not, you are radiant and you shine for Jesus. Why? Because yet you have your Holy Spirit in your Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit in us. Does that make sense? And I want to tell you this, because I want to dispel a lie of the enemy. It isn't dependent on how you feel. If the woman stayed in her condition and how she felt, she'd have just got worse. She wouldn't have got to Jesus. She needed to believe the truth, that if she could get to Jesus, she would be healed. We have Jesus in us. That is the truth. And because we have Jesus in us, we shine. Yeah, but Everton, I'm having a bad day. Oh, you don't know what a week I've had. Oh, it's awful being me. And I find it so hard to shine. Well, we had the image of the crucible, didn't we? It still shines. And what better place to shine than when we're going through the difficulties? Because that's when it shines the most. This woman was desperate. She didn't have that much faith. But look what Jesus did with her. Look what Jesus did. The heart of God, you see, is to heal. The heart of God is to forgive. The heart of God is to restore. The heart of God is to demonstrate His love. We are people who are loved by God with a passion. And as I come in to finish, I'll ask you a question. Hands up, all the people here that have earned your way to God, earned your salvation, that you've earned it, you know, because of who you are and because you work hard. Nobody. Nobody. So how does it come about? It comes about by God's amazing grace, His amazing love. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can't earn it? Isn't it wonderful to know that God loves us with a passion and He can't love us anymore? Isn't it wonderful to know that we are blessed, loved, chosen, dearly loved daughters and sons of God? Daughter? It's wonderful. And it's liberating and it sets us free. It's so good. It's so good you might even want to shout about it. It's so good, you might even want to sing about it. It's so good, you might even want to tell your family and your friends about it. Ooh! But it is, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's so good, people of God. And you're so good because God loves you. God so loves the world that Jesus came and died for us. That's why I've moved the cross forward. It's just a reminder of how much God loves us. I wonder whether this woman was perfect afterwards, the unknown woman. No, she wasn't, but she was changed and transformed. I love it because she's unnamed. And when you get to heaven, some of us are going to be asking, were you that woman? Were you that woman that we read about? Was it you? Was it you? Because the unnamed, insignificant, God is interested in. And it's you and me. Because in many ways, we see ourselves as insignificant and unimportant. But God wants to tell you that you are. And he's got something for you to do and you to be that only you could be and do. I've changed it around because it's the being and the doing. The doing coming out of the being. So I want to encourage you. Do you want to stand? You know, one of the hardest things to receive, it's the truth. One of the hardest things to receive is the truth. And one of the hardest things to receive is a gift from somebody else. And so many of us are so used to and so focused and sold out on giving that we've forgotten what it's like to actually receive and how to receive. And I believe that for a number of us today, God wants us to receive a free gift. And it's a really easy one. I believe that God wants to remind us, or maybe tell us for the first time, how much he loves you and me. And I don't think it's a love which is, everybody all included. It's a personal thing as well. It's personal. So Heavenly Father, just remind us, every single one of us, individually, yes and corporately, but individually more so, how much we're loved by you. Remind us that we are your sons and your daughters. Just let it come. Just receive his love. Let's see what he does. I know for some of us we find this difficult and we struggle. Well, here's a thing. Just whatever's going on in your head which isn't thinking about God, just dump it to one side. You may have come with baggage, you may have come with problems and difficulties. Just dump it for the moment. Because he knows about it, God knows about it, but he still wants you to know how much you're loved. Never mind the problem, never mind the difficulty. And Father, help us to believe that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, by your Holy Spirit. Just help us to believe it and then live it out for your glory and honor. Amen. We're going to finish in a moment, but sometimes I get really stupid pictures. Most of the time, I don't mean anything to anybody, but I'm quite open to share it. And if it means something to someone, then it does, and it blesses. But I can't get away from this picture, and it's a silly picture. It's a picture of someone with their hands stuck in a sink, actually. It's stupid. And no matter how hard they pull, they can't get out. And I just feel God saying to the person that you need God's help to set you free. Because as the water goes in the sink, the water going round and round, and it just feels like you're going round and round, and you're stuck. And I just feel God say, come to Jesus. Just like that woman. And she was freed from her suffering. She was set free. I'm going to ask everyone to shut their eyes. And if that picture that I've just shared means anything to you, do you think you could just raise a hand where you are? Okay, bless you. It's strange how stupid pictures God uses. I know this is really, really hard, but everyone's got their eyes shut. But if you've got your hands raised, I'm going to ask you to do the next thing, which is huge. But can you come out to the front just so we can get people to pray for you? Just come. Yeah, just come up the front. Just come. Please, just come. Can we have some ministry enabling team just to come and stand with these people? Ministry enabling team, just face that way. Don't face the congregation. Face that way. That's it. Bless you. Ministry enabling team, just come. Please. and for the rest of us as the body of Christ. Sorry, it's really hard when God puts something on your heart. It's hard how to do it without embarrassing people, because I don't want to embarrass people. But yet I recognise how God wants to change us and transform us. And like with the woman, Jesus made her come out publicly. He made her come out publicly. So, people of God, would you just bless these people that are out there? I know they've got ministry enabling team with them, but would you just, with me, just pray for them? Pray God would give them breakthrough. Pray God would just set them free. I wonder as well, linked with a word which has just been given to me, it speaks about there's no boundaries to what God can do. And I wonder whether there's some of us who are, like the woman, physically sick and are desperate for Jesus to do something. And I wonder if you want to, and if you're able to, if you would want someone to pray with you. I'll just, as we continue in worship in a moment, I'm going to ask you, you can do it now if you want, just to come out again, with join the others, and we'll get someone to pray with you. Just if you really feel that you would like, if you're sick, and you would like someone just to stand with you and pray, then just come.